It's Monday morning, which usually means back to work, back to school. But today, of course, it doesn't mean that. Well, there's no school during the days between Christmas and New Year. But there's no work either, apparently, because this has been declared a holiday. In the, let's get the secular calendar out of the way for a moment. In the, if you look at a calendar, you might see that it's Boxing Day today. If you have a British calendar or a calendar from any of the Commonwealth nations, Boxing Day is part of their tradition. It's an extension of Christmas, really. It has nothing to do with the sport of boxing. And it has nothing to do with Stephen being stoned either. But that's a popular holiday. I'm told that down in Australia, New Zealand, because it's summertime there, it's a big vacation time. So here in the Philippines, it turns out today's a holiday. It was just declared last Thursday that today's a holiday. And probably everyone knew it already. I was taken by surprise. There's always a bit of a mystery when it comes to holidays. I can't figure out when they're going to be. I looked it up last night. I got even more confused. It said that Saturday was a working holiday. Sunday was a regular holiday. Today's a special non-working holiday. Friday is a regular holiday. Saturday is a working holiday. Sunday is a regular holiday. And next Monday, a week from today, is a special non-working holiday. I can't figure out what those categories really mean. I think it has to do with how much people get paid if they work. And are you working today? Are you working? So you get some kind of overtime. I hope. That is a time and a half or double time. Anyway, that's not on our liturgical calendar. Today, as I said, is a second day of Christmas, the octave of Christmas, and it's the great feast of the great martyr, St. Stephen. Now, when it comes to St. Stephen, there's a lot to reflect on. I think we can, three things come to mind right away. One is the sudden contrast between Christmas and martyrdom. Secondly, there's Stephen himself, the man. He's an extraordinary witness. And then third, there's the connection between Stephen and Saul, who became Paul. So that's three whole homilies right there. But let's just reflect a little bit on those three topics. First of all, from Christmas to Stephen, from December 25 to December 26, it's always a bit of a shocker because Christmas Day is a day of peace on earth and joy and family time. And today is just a brutal mob scene with a stoning. And those seem to be in such extraordinary contrast. I can't remember, if I ever learned, why St. Stephen's feast day is today. I'm sure there's some historical basis for it, but it goes way back. This is an ancient feast. And so even if there was a reason why it was on December 26, I mean, there's no historical records other than the Acts of the Apostles, but there's probably traditions. But whatever the historical reason is, certainly the church decided and has decided for centuries to keep this martyrdom feast right next to Christmas. It's a very deliberate contrast, as if to deepen our understanding of what Christmas is all about. Christmas is, of course, the celebration of a birth, and martyrdom is a celebration of a death, a sacrificial death. But they go together. The more you think of it, the more fitting it is. It's shocking at first, but it's fitting because the birth we celebrated yesterday was not all joy and comfort. The one who was born emptied himself to such an extraordinary degree, it was a death for him. For the Word to become flesh was an absolute sacrifice. I saw this meditation yesterday about Elon Musk saying, well, what would it be like if he gave away all his money? He's got, what, $200 billion or something? Well, if he decided in one day to give away all his money and live in poverty, we would be just shocked at that kind of descent. And according to this author, that's nothing by comparison to what the Word, the eternal Word, did in deciding to become flesh and entering into time. A much greater, an infinitely greater condescension. So that's a kind of death movement on the part of the Word. And then when you look at Stephen, even though it's a terrible story of a stoning, it's not all sacrifice and blood, because there's a glorious side to it. Stephen himself experiences a vision of glory greater than what the shepherds saw yesterday. The shepherds saw the glory of God in this choir of angels. Stephen sees the glory of God and Jesus himself reigning in glory at the right hand of the Father. But he had a greater vision than the shepherds had. So it helps us understand that it's not as if our joy is without any sacrifice or cost, and it's not as if our sacrifice is without joy. They have this interconnectedness. And the church, as I say, is very deliberate about keeping the Feast of St. Stephen right next to Christmas. As if to say, and this is why we have this gospel reading from Jesus talking about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of this newborn king. The king comes to lay down his life. His followers are called to lay down their lives. We are called to persevere even in times of trial, persecution. Whoever endures to the end will be saved. We're already saved. We're saved by the coming of the Lord and his sacrifice, but we have to endure to the end. Okay, so that's the first point, this December 25, 26 shift. Now let's just look for a moment at Stephen himself. We don't know much about his origins, but everything we know about him is quite amazing. He was first mentioned when they chose the seven reputable men to take care of the distribution of the food, which sounds like a very practical task, waiting on tables. And the apostles said, it's not right for us to wait on tables and neglect the word of God to wait on the tables. Let's give this job to somebody else. And as it turns out, Stephen rose to the task, not only of waiting on the tables, but of feeding crowds with the gospel. And he spoke to many people, worked great signs, great wonders, and was a very convincing preacher, Stephen. His greatness, of course, comes out especially at the end, when he could have saved his life, but instead declared even more boldly, as he was facing opposition, that he could see the Lord. Could see the Lord. And he wanted them to know what he could see, because that's what you can see with eyes of faith, and he wanted them to have faith. So the greatness of Stephen is his witness. That's what a martyr is, a witness. But he's also a kind of icon of Christ himself, because at the end of his life, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Just as Jesus said, quoting the psalm, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's what we use for our psalm today. And then the next thing, and this is not in the reading, because it says here, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The next thing is that he prays for those who are persecuting him. And that's what's brought out in today's collect. Did you notice this in the opening prayer of the Mass? It doesn't mention Stephen by name. But it says, Lord, may we imitate what we worship and so learn to love even our enemies, for we celebrate the heavenly birthday. That's a connection to Christmas is a birthday. Today is also a birthday. We celebrate the heavenly birthday of a man who knew how to pray even for his persecutors. The odd thing is, Stephen's prayer for his persecutors is not included in the reading. They cut the reading off without including that verse. But that's Stephen. That's his greatness, the great proto-martyr of the church. A man who shows us how to fulfill what Jesus says in this gospel. How to endure to the end, and so to be born into glory, to reign with Christ. He sees Jesus reigning in glory, and then he enters into glory and reigns with him. It's as horrible as the stoning is, the result is really beautiful and inspiring. Okay, so that's Stephen himself. We could say more about him. He takes up a couple chapters in the Acts of the Apostles. Then thirdly, the connection between Stephen and Saul. And this is also a very inspiring revelation, what Tertullian described as the blood of martyrs being the seed of Christians. Stephen's sacrifice bears fruit in the conversion of Saul. Not immediately, but it's connected. And that's why the Acts of the Apostles is deliberate in explaining that the people who were stoning Stephen were laying down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Like, he's kind of in charge of the event. He's watching over the whole thing. He's an eyewitness of Stephen's death and also Stephen's proclamation of seeing Jesus in glory. When Saul sees Jesus in glory, what do you think he's going to think of? Well, that's what Stephen must have seen. It must have come to him. I heard Stephen say he could see Jesus in glory, and now I can see him. Connection is clear in the Acts of the Apostles. And it's a good connection for us to reflect on, that what looks like utter waste, horrible tragedy, sacrifice, has this seed quality to it. It's a beginning of something new for the benefit of others. Every sacrifice can have this quality if it's offered to the Lord, offered with the Lord. You know the old expression, offer it up. If we have a trial, a pain, a suffering, a loss of any kind, we can make an offering of it. We can make a sacrifice of it. It's a holy gift. And that gift has great effect for others. We don't see necessarily what that effect is. Stephen didn't know when he was living in this life that his sacrifice was going to benefit Saul, of all people, the enemy of the church, the persecutor. He didn't know that. But when he got to heaven and he saw how it all worked, I'm sure he rejoiced to see Saul getting the grace of conversion. It's something to reflect on. When Saul, who's known as Paul, is himself martyred and goes to heaven, and he meets Stephen, what do you think they talk about? Does Stephen say, "No, you made my life so difficult. Here you are ruling over my martyrdom"? No. Welcome to glory. I'm my brother, Paul. And does Paul have shame about what he did when he was persecuting the church? No. He recognizes the mercy of God reigning over him, saving sinners, and he's the foremost. So it's another thing to reflect on, the relationship between Stephen and Saul, St. Paul, because we're in this. We're in this dynamic of helping one another in the journey of conversion. And anything we can do to offer, our prayers, our sacrifices, benefits others. It's a very beautiful thing to reflect on, and it's part of our Christmas celebration, kind of a Christmas gift. Stephen's Christmas gift to Saul is his blood. Great gift. And Saul gets the benefit of opening that gift and rejoicing in the grace of conversion.